Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country 2 minutes at a time for the biggest stories of the day where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
We're not moving on.
Second half of the program begins right now as we head around the country talking to the people covering the stories where they are happening. You know, we call it the 2 minute drill. It's brought to you by our friends at Joslyn's Jewelry, Gary Joslyn and his staff. Absolutely the best when it comes to helping you out with any and all jewelry purchases, whether it's an engagement ring, a wedding ring, more than 1,000 to choose from, in business for more than 40 years. That's Joslyn's Jewelry. No matter what you need, they know what is most important when it comes to jewelry, cut and color. Scintillating diamonds are the only thing that are good enough for Gary Joslyn and Joslyn's Jewelry. More than 100,000 repairs. That's right. The repair rings as well as Joslyn's Jewelry is your full-service jewelry dealer. Whether it's new, buying a new ring or repairing an old ring, they're happy to do it. It's the only place we shop for jewelry in my family. Gary Joslyn has taken care of me numerous times. He'll take care of you and your family as he does a fantastic job, best selection, best people. More than 30 years, some of his employees have worked with him. More than 30 years. One that speaks to what kind of guy Gary is. Great place to work, but also the experience, knowledge, and know-how. It's at Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch, online at joslynsjewelry.com. All right, we start things off here on the drill in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Brian D., ESPN Milwaukee's up first. Brian, how are you, sir?
I am fabulous. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Tell me, where do we sit on Giannis and what his health is and what that means for any chances they might have in the playoffs?
Oof, he is he's still grinding through it. I think the expectation at this point is that he's likely not going to be available for game one. That being said, the Bucks have been tremendously confident for a team that kind of limped and skidded into the playoffs at the end of the regular season and lost 4 out of 5 games to the Pacers over the course of the regular season and the midseason tournament there. They're talking a lot of trash. Malik Beasley, Damian Lillard, Pat Bev, they've all been talking with tremendous confidence about this series. So even without Giannis, I think a lot of folks in Milwaukee are expecting a motivated team because they've been taking a lot of trash talk in their direction as well. I don't know if that's going to be enough to carry them through the entirety of the series without their superstar player, but they are speaking very confidently ahead of Sunday's game one.
So they're saying like 2 to 4 weeks on that injury, which would put him out for a while. You're thinking he could be back for game two?
I don't know if it's game two. It's such a touch-and-go thing, and I think the image that everybody has in their mind with a calf muscle is Kevin Durant from a couple of years back in that NBA Finals where he was dealing with a very similar injury. It's kind of a vague injury where it's, okay, you want to make sure it's 100%, but is it going to be 100% in a sport like basketball where you have to be out there cutting and being explosive? And sure enough, when Kevin Durant came back, he popped his Achilles, which is just the worst possible thing that could happen. So Giannis is going to be the first one to want to get back out there. There's nobody more competitive in the NBA than him, in my belief. But I think the Bucks have to, in this situation with this injury in particular, protect him against itself. So I wouldn't be surprised if we get through the entirety of the series though, to Giannis.
Some of the national talking heads are making it sound like the Bucks need a deep run or Dame Lillard would be moved on after just 1 year. Do you think there's any truth in that?
I could see that situation happening. He hasn't been overtly happy here in Milwaukee. It's not to say that there have been any signs of him on or off the floor saying or doing negative things about the city. He hasn't wrapped his arms and embraced around Milwaukee like some others have. So would I be shocked if they get bounced in the first round for the second consecutive year and the Bucks and Dame both look at each other and go, well, we tried, it didn't work, let's get you somewhere where you're happier? No, I wouldn't be shocked by that. So that's based on nothing other than change is going to have to happen if they get bounced out of the playoffs for the second consecutive year, and Dame is kind of the one piece that's got some trade value.
All right, tell me, what are the Packers wanting to get done, at least in round one of this draft?
It feels like defense, and I know that sounds crazy because you've still got Jordan Love for the next couple of weeks at least on his rookie contract. Now, I expect him to get a big deal, but the first couple of years I'm sure will be affordable when they do extend Jordan Love. So you would think they would want to surround him with top-tier talent on the offensive side of the ball, but bringing in a new defensive coordinator on the defensive side and Jeff Hafley, he's going to want to get his guys in there and kind of revamp that defense that was the weakness of this Packers team all of last year and really for the past couple of years. I think they're going to go inside defensive line and maybe linebacker just to revamp the middle of that defense at the first and second level. That's what I expect to happen on Thursday night.
All right, Brian D., ESPN Milwaukee. Great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a fantastic weekend.
You too. Thank you very much.
My bad to Pittsburgh.
Tim Benz, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is next. Tim, of course, from the Pittsburgh Tribune-Review and Fox Sports Pittsburgh. Tim, how are you, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me again. How's things out there?
They're good. They're good. We're excited about the NFL draft. We're excited about anything football with the Chiefs. Where are the Steelers looking in this draft?
A number of places. It's an indication of, while busy and noteworthy, newsworthy in the offseason, they still have a ways to go before there's really reason to believe that they're going to make more of a deep playoff run than they have in the past 7 years. They could go center, and that would be good. They could go tackle, that would be good. If they go corner, I wouldn't have a problem with it. They really need a wide receiver, if not two. And even defensive line would be nice. Maybe not so much for this year, but definitely for next. So they could go any number of directions, and I don't think they'd be hearing any criticism here in Pittsburgh. You could poll five different people. You get might get five different names, and if the guy next to you gave a different name than you did, you're not going to get much of an argument. And we do like to argue about the Steelers here in Pittsburgh, so this is a bit of a departure.
Are the fans at least happy with the quarterback situation?
Happier, more hopeful, welcoming of change. Happy that we're not talking about the same thing, because it's really been a continuation, even though it was a different person, different people in Trubisky and Kenny Pickett. It did look a lot like the end of the Ben Roethlisberger era. Now, unfortunately, if you look at some of the more advanced stats and analytics and Russell Wilson's history, we might see a continuation of that again with just another different person. But I think there's at least hope that if they do get to 9-8, 10-7 again, and I don't expect much more than that, if they get to that realm again, at least if Russell Wilson is good enough to get them there, they've got more of a puncher's chance to pull off an upset in a Buffalo, Kansas City, Houston, you know, one of these teams, it's Miami, wherever they might go, that's a division winner. One of their own division rivals, Cincinnati, Baltimore, whatever. They at least have more of a puncher's chance with Wilson at quarterback than they would have with Pickett.
Brandon Ayuk, some talk that maybe the Steelers were looking to trade for him, whether it's him or another wideout. Do you think that's one of the things they're trying to do, is line up another wide receiver, a veteran receiver, through trade?
Yeah, I mean, I would completely endorse that. I think that, you know, if they give up one of their, they've got four picks over the first 2 days. They got a late third rounder they can play with. If they can use that as a package to get a veteran, good, starter-worthy receiver that can be a number one and a half, or, you know, a close number two to George Pickens, I think that would be a better route to go than burning another draft pick on a wide receiver. And not that they're not good at it, not that they don't need it. Again, I would endorse that. But I think they're kind of in a little bit of a difficult spot. Like, they're not going to be able to move up to get one of the top three guys in the receivers class. And then there's a lot of really good late second, third rounders. They could probably wait to the third round. But I just don't want to see another young wide receiver out there with Pickens and then a whole lot of nothing. I'd like to see like a Cortland Sutton or a T. Higgins or a Brandon Ayuk, even if it costs a lot of money and some collateral to get him. I think that's worthwhile, in my opinion, than use the other picks elsewhere.
Pirates came out of the gates red hot. They have lost three in a row now. Still well above 500 at 11-8. What do we think they are? Getting ready to go through a stretch of all winning teams here for a little bit. What are the Pirates right now?
They are in a holding pattern until Paul Skenes gets here. The biggest thing that moves the needle with the Pirates now is whenever Skenes pitches in Indianapolis. And now all of a sudden, Paul Skenes is the second biggest story in Indianapolis because Caitlin Clark's there. You know, maybe getting him here, he'd like that too. I don't know. But look, I'm going to maintain some level of optimism that the Pirates could be good enough to flirt with 500. I think that step from 62 wins to 76 wins that they made last year was nice, but the next leap from 76 to 84 or something like that to be a wild card is a lot more difficult to make, and I don't know how well positioned they truly are to do it. They gotta trust their young pitchers. You know, like what are they saving their arms for? So that they're healthier arms when they go to the Yankees and Dodgers in 3-4 years. You know, like that Jared Jones kid threw 50 strikes the other day on 59 pitches in 5 innings and gave up one hit and they pulled him. That's just stupid. You know, some of this analytics stuff has just gone way too far when it comes to pitch counts on pitchers. And, you know, Paul Skenes, I think he's ready to be a major leaguer. He's built like one. He throws like one. Get him here.
The last question would be about Aroldis Chapman. When he signed here in Kansas City, a lot of people questioned that signing, but he was nothing but a model teammate by all accounts. He suspended for a couple of games. Everybody's still on board with having Aroldis Chapman on the roster?
I mean, like, that's raised some red flags. You know, the weird video that he put up online before the start of the season raised some red flags, but, you know, Bednar hasn't been great to start the year, so I think people are willing to give him some latitude just because they're a little shaky about Bednar being shaky. So, you know, the bullpen was supposed to be an area of strength for the Pirates. It had been aside from Bednar, including Chapman, to start, but that's wobbled like everything else on the team for the past week. So it's definitely very much still a question mark from top to bottom with the Pirates, how it's going to go.
All right. Great stuff as always. We always appreciate it. Tim Benz in Pittsburgh. You're the man. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, Trent. Appreciate you having me on. Talk to you soon.
I'm the train that calls the city of New Orleans.
Gus Kattengill, ESPN New Orleans in New Orleans, Louisiana. Gus, how are you, sir?
Doing well, man. How are you today?
Very good. Pelicans 1-point favorite even without Zion. Is that spread right?
Well, so obviously, you know, they've beaten the Kings 5 times this season. And once was without Zion, 133-100 at Sacramento. But I also would say there's a reason the spread is 1.5, right? You don't have Zion. This team, for some reason, cannot play at home. They can't shoot the three at home, and in the games that beaten the Kings, they've shot the ball really well from beyond the arc. So those are kind of all the ingredients into what even the players on the Pelicans side said yesterday after practice, that this is going to be a different game, a close game, and kind of a toss-up game. Look, you've lost 6 straight games at home, needing to win one of those, Matt. One. And you would have qualified for the postseason already. You had 2 opportunities just since Sunday to win 1 game to get into the first round. So I think there's an enormous amount of pressure on the Pelicans, who just 2.5 weeks ago, dude, they were in 4th spot in the Western Conference. And if they lose tonight, they're watching tomorrow.
Yeah, it is amazing. With Zion, what's the reaction to him being hurt yet again?
It's funny. You just said it right there, right? Yet again, I actually commented on the show yesterday and today. It's actually been pleasant where it isn't. He's injury prone. He's a bum. He's a bust. You see, he didn't take it. Look, he played 71 games this year. Now, was he in the shape that he needed to be when he started the season? No. Maybe it was the talking to the team meeting that this team had after a Mavericks beatdown earlier in the season. Maybe it was the beatdown in the play-in or the in-season tournament game against the Lakers, where he was just crushed about his size and weight, and rightfully so. Look, I'm not here backing him up. When I saw him in media day in October to around December, I was commenting on home games to people on our staff. I'm like, is he 30 pounds heavier than media day? I mean, he wasn't serious. And whatever happened clicked, because March 3rd on, he's been the Zion that everyone has wanted him to see. So, and I think it goes a lot to hear guys like Larry Nance yesterday at the practice, our callers. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. It was, people wanted him traded, right? Beginning of the season, last season. I mean, just move. None of that in the last 2 days. None of that. Actually, everyone wants Willie Green gone. I mean, like, no one is actually, for the first time since he's been here, actually called the show thinking that it's Zion's fault, or, you know, that it's just one of those things, man, where it just stinks that he suffers a hamstring injury in a game he gets 40 freaking points.
Will that tone change if they don't advance? Will they be calling for maybe tearing the whole thing up?
So, I will tell you this. If they win today, I think no matter what, there is going to be one absolute serious question or debate or topic or theme this offseason. What lineups work? What lineups don't work? Your previous call, I heard him talking about Paul Skeens, you know, and analytics, and sometimes it gets ridiculous. For some reason in the last month and a half, the Pelicans decided to go small ball and that they can't win with Jonas Valanciunas. Now, he's going to play today because he's Sabonis' kryptonite. But he played 3 minutes in that first Laker game. All I know, he's a walking double-double. In the postseason games he's played, he's been a double-double. And for some reason, he doesn't play. There are a lot of people that believe that Zion and BI don't work, that numbers, analytics will prove that. It's not about animosity. They love each other. It's a happy locker room. It's not that. There's no point guard on this team. And Brandon Ingram, I don't know if you know this, he is the team leader in assists. Is he supposed to be the team leader in assists? So something doesn't fit with those three. CJ, B.I., Zion, and then you have Trey Murphy, who wants an extension. He's your three-point shooter. He's, I think, more upside and plays better with Zion. So win or lose, what lineups work with Zion is going to be the main topic this offseason.
Saints at 14 will do what?
Tackle. We can move on. It better be tackle. There's no reason to ask me anything else. We don't need to talk about anything else. It is a tackle, tackle, tackle. Thank goodness most of the mock drafts are Steve Fashunu. I would love him from Penn State. That's fantastic. Please, no project. Give me somebody that's legitimately played in a Power 5. What's the stat? No sacks in 2 years? Fantastic. Come on board. I don't want to hear project. I don't want to hear competing for the starting job. Draft a starting tackle. Period.
Jaden Daniels will be what in the NFL?
I think he'll be a good quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be great. I don't know if he's Mahomes. I don't know if he's... I would say this. I would probably answer it this way. I would be shocked if he's not a competent quarterback. And I say that because there's some things that translate to me that I thought from year one to two that had me at the beginning of last season saying, I think this guy is a first-round draft pick. I think he's a starting, you know, quarterback in the NFL. And the first and foremost is his first game for LSU against Florida State. He's unflappable, man. He had one of the worst offensive lines the first year that I've ever seen in my life. He never had a running game in 2 years. Last year, he had quite honestly the worst defense I've ever seen in my life in a college football team, much less at that level. They were awful. And yet the guy, you know, towels not on his head, didn't throw people under the bus. The demeanor on the sidelines the same up 30 as when they were down to, or, you know, we have to score a touchdown because they just gave one up after they just scored a touchdown. So that's the number one thing, leadership and unflappability. The guy gave Bama two unbelievable games. Alabama's defense didn't stop them in two games. They didn't win both games, but that was the defense, not him. And more importantly, you have to be accurate with the football. You have to shoot, you can read defenses, you can improve. Year one, wasn't very good on the deep ball. That was his big thing. He became the best deep ball accurate passer in college football last year. He can drop dimes 30, 40 yards away, and he can run with his legs, extending the plays. I didn't say he has to be Lamar Jackson. Just extend plays and be able to fling it and know where to go with the football. Those are three things he can do. That's going to make you a successful quarterback, I think, in the NFL.
Gus Cattingill in New Orleans. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure, man. You too. Have a good weekend.
It's New York Philly.
Eitan Shander, Fox 29, and the Philly Voice in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Eitan, how are you, sir?
I'm well, Sarain. Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Joel Embiid didn't look 100%, but it was enough to get him through. How much is there with Joel Embiid right now, health-wise?
Yeah, it's somewhere between playing on one leg and 75%, I would say, and it's probably going to vary throughout a series. You got one game. Now, granted, a lot of what Miami does is an anomaly in the NBA. I understand from both coaching and the execution of the zone, especially against a guy like Joel Embiid, but let's not kid ourselves. The New York Knicks are not necessarily looking at anything more than staying physical as well. So I think you're looking at teams that are just trying to pound him, as counterintuitive as that could be when you see how big he is, but he's not back yet. And now there's a lot of pressure on a lot of other guys.
Yeah, no doubt. What do you think are their chances against the Knicks?
So I think they actually have a really good shot against the Knicks. I know minus Julius Randle, but really OG Anunoby, we'll see really how long his health is. But the reality is Joel Embiid healthy, an 80% MVP. He's the guy who would have led the Philadelphia 76ers to a 3, if not a 2 seed, especially with Doc Rivers taking over Milwaukee and ensuring their defeat. So I think the Sixers are far better than their seeding, and this is much more an equal series. I just think that Joel Embiid is the edge, and it's really hard to get around that. Jalen Brunson is an amazing talent. I want to watch everything he does on the floor. But Tyrese Maxey is a close third right now, and I think that's where the Sixers have the edge, actually, Serena's top-heavy edge.
We hear that if, you know, the Bucks don't advance, Dame Lillard could be on the move. Anything at stake for this Sixer group if they don't advance? Is there going to be change coming, or will they just say, you know what, Joel wasn't healthy, let's put it back together, give it another run next year?
So everything outside of Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey is up for stake right now. The Philadelphia 76ers are not going to run this back if they lose to the Knicks. If they lose in the second round, they're just not. So they're going to spend as much money as humanly possible. Dame Lillard, anybody in that price tier, Daryl Morey is going to go after hardcore because they're going to have a ton of money. This is it for this team. But no, I mean, really, you've got, I'd say, two more legit years, maybe 3 years of Embiid giving it a go here before he's gone. But I would be shocked if it's a third year. I would say the over-under 2.5, I'll take the under.
Are they celebrating the fact that he is playing hurt?
They have no choice, right? Like, what other choice is there out? Joel Embiid has to go. This team is dreadful without Embiid on the floor. They have nothing that they can rely on if Tyrese Maxey gets coached out of a basketball game. And it's no knock on Nick Nurse, just that there's some pretty damn good coaches in the NBA with some pretty good defenses that they can apply to guys handling the ball like Maxey. So everything is riding on Joel. The pressure is not just figuratively, it's also on Embiid's knee. But yeah, I mean, we have no choice but to praise the fact that he's back.
Yeah, listen, I'm impressed. Like, oh, all they care about's the money. Not him. He didn't have to play. Yeah. He was going to get paid either way. Same with Jimmy Butler. I think it's been it was really impressive to watch both of them. How about Devontae Smith getting a contract extension? Listen, I don't mind him getting an extension. But you've already got a big contract with A.J. Brown and $25 million per for Devonta Smith. Is this a good move, bad move?
Well, here's the thing. It's a great move in one regard. So whatever people may think of Devontae and whatever people may think of the number, a bunch of guys that play his position are about to get paid. And Howie Roseman, which he really has a knack for doing, got ahead and jumped the market. So that's what this was. This was a cost-effective move that saved the Philadelphia Eagles money once the market was set. And they didn't set anything. They just jumped ahead of it. And look, Devontae Smith got paid. So that's why these deals work. All the way back to, like, Lane Johnson's rookie contract. This is just what Howie Roseman has been able to do successfully with this team. And this is just the latest example of it. So, yes, I think it's a great move in that regard. And that makes it a good move.
What are they doing in the draft?
I heard you ask New Orleans. So, look, I think the Eagles are going line. Most likely offensive line, but they're going line. They're not going to address the offense with their first-round pick. They may even trade back, to be honest. So I have 50% of me says a defensive lineman, 50% of me says trade back, second round.
How many defensive linemen can you take in the first round?
It's Howie Roseman. It's like he doesn't know he has them. I swear, a linebacker, like that's what he's looking, probably not a linebacker, but I think he'd look for defensive back. That's where it is. That's the focus right now. Brought it up, Trenton. He spent a ton of money on offense, particularly skill positions. He's going to draft somebody on the line, most likely an offensive lineman or a cornerback, but I think defensive lineman, interior at least, is absolutely in play. Look, Hassan Reddick's gone. You know, your interior Fletcher Cox is gone. You need some help.
Eitan Shander in Philadelphia. Great stuff as always, my friend. We really appreciate it. Have yourself a fantastic weekend.
Always, my friend.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Thank you, sir. You too, Saran. Thank you.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. Who's the only pitcher to win at least 40 games for both the Royals and Orioles? 40 games, Royals and Orioles.
Full disclosure, I'll give people a chance to think for a little bit. I sat there totally blank. Mm-hmm. You said it's happened in the last 20 years? Totally blank.
We had about 8 people call in order guessing the same guy. Yes.
Everybody guessing Boddicker. Yeah. Boddicker did not win 40 for the Royals. Only 13.
Only 13. Wasn't here as long, and they weren't very good. Much of a team around him.
And so then you said Orioles first in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And pointed out that he only had a few more wins than those two teams combined.
Yeah, only 3 more wins elsewhere.
And that's when I nailed it. Just literally, absolutely nailed it with Jeremy Guthrie.
Yes.
But I crushed it.
You did.
Once.
Crushed it.
I got my usual 5 guesses and 6 clues.
47 wins for the Orioles from 07 to 11. 41 wins and 2 pennants and 1 world championship for the Royals in from 2012 to 2015.
Jay Guts.
And 1 post-game T-shirt controversy.
What was that?
You wore something after they played him in the...
There, it was a... So there's a... I'm not sure... The lyric it's taking from is not necessarily... It can be said on the radio. I just don't know how appropriate it is. But he wore a shirt that reads, "These O's ain't royal." It was a play on these... Something that rhymes with O's ain't loyal. It's a rap lyric. And he wore that after maybe game 2.
That was a big deal? No wonder I don't remember.
It ruffled a bunch of feathers in Baltimore. And
Baltimore can bite ass.
And it pissed off a certain NFL writer based out of Baltimore.
Yes.
God.
What was his name?
Who?
The Orioles guy.
Yeah, he's an Orioles fan. He's based out of Baltimore.
No, he's an NFL writer.
He's a
Syracuse guy.
Yeah.
Shocking.
But he's a big fan of the Baltimore teams, or at least the Orioles. I don't know if he's a Ravens fan. But
I remember that.
Anyway, whoever he is, he was one of the bigger, you know, because he's an NFL national writer. He had a lot of followers from Kansas City, and so he went back and forth.
He went on and on. But I didn't realize that's where that started from.
But... the O's ain't royal, and his ass was red.
True story.
Hope his diaper's been changed since.
I'm about ready to think of his name, but...
It does start with a J, doesn't it?
No.
Like Jason. Jason Lock and Four.
Yeah, that's it.
Boom. I knew
I'd
get it.
It started with an S, though.
Jason La Can Stuff It.
He's actually, I don't think he's bad as far as his job, but
I don't know how you get dragged into that on Twitter.
Yeah, Curtis.
In this kind of line of work. Now, Curtis lets it go eventually. Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't. I'm not.
If Curtis isn't tweeting about sports, I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, I'm not chasing after some team for two straight years.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is like he would start it up.
That's the thing. It was a thing.
He would like relight the fire.
And that's the thing. Also, so patently wrong.
It wasn't
on
just
the wrong
that night.
Side too.
It wasn't that night. It was. It wasn't even that series. It was years it went on.
Yeah. He got canned, didn't he? From NFL Network?
I don't know.
I don't read his stuff. I don't see his stuff much anymore.
Yeah. You know, whatever.
I don't see him on Twitter.
Wish him the best. It's one of my great memories. Winning in Baltimore, game one, ALCS in 14. Time of my life. Shut the bars down. They shut the bars down.
That's awesome.
Well, there's no one here. There's plenty of us Royals fans here. We're shutting it down. Got to go home.
Can't go. You don't have to go home. Can't stay here. I constantly think back to how long, even though they went the same, and actually the 14 run went to 7 games in the World Series, but I constantly think back to how much longer the 15 run seemed than the 14 run. The 14 run seemed like such a blur because it was, oh my God, you know, I hope we get past the A's and get into the quote real playoffs. That was an incredible.
Well, they swept
game.
Everybody.
Yeah, then
well,
holy crap, we're in the World Series.
That's the thing. It was like, and I think the reason partly is the sweeping, but also it was like, all right, my attitude was get past the A's, everything's gravy. They got past the A's in an incredible way, and then everything after that was, I can't blanking believe this is happening. Not just that they're winning. Like, teams get hot, but they're just
it felt
they're
like
setting
they went,
freaking records for it, consecutive playoff wins.
It felt like they went from the wild card win to the series in, like,
in
5
a day,
days.
Yeah.
It just seemed,
well, the Angels took nothing.
Yeah, right. They stepped aside quickly.
Baltimore had, well, the Angels at least the first two games were.
Yeah.
They were once that series got to Kansas City, they were both done.
Both in extras.
Well, game one in Baltimore went to extra innings.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I think the Baltimore two or three of them in Baltimore or against Baltimore go to extras?
No, just the first one.
Oh wow! I thought okay.
They won like 2-1 and 2-1. They won low scoring games
close.
Those
they
last
just won
two.
Extras. Okay.
I think they won 8-6 or something like that. The game two, the Saturday afternoon, where the Royals had to come back again. They were all four close games, but only the first game went to extras.
Okay.
We gave away Good Sense. That's always a wise choice, people. GoodSenseSubs.com. Ordered on the app. You can even program in what your favorite orders are, whether it's just for you or the whole family. It's at GoodSenseSubs.com. And don't forget, as graduation rolls on, those party trays, they're a staple in my house. They will take care of you if you've got a big graduation party. You want to put a spread on. Remember the code WHBG5. You can save $5 on any of the large catering trays. Family-sized pasta. You can use that as well, whether it's the cookie trays, the meatball sliders, or the fresh-baked subs. You can get them right now. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com and use the promo code WHBG5 and save $5 right now. We're looking at that. We talked yesterday about the transfer portal, and we decided to go ahead and take a look at what everybody's doing and, like, who is targeting shooters. Right?
And I know who isn't.
Mizzou.
and if they are, they're not landing them.
But I'm surprised.
At least three-point shooters.
But aren't we a little bit surprised that KU's signings aren't better shooters than they actually are? I am. Here's the shooting percentage for the KU.
Took a step back. He was like a 40% shooter his freshman year and took a monster step back.
It's a 320.
Yeah, that's monster.
And not a Steph Curry-like step-back three.
No,
he just took a step back from three.
Now, part of that was he was letting it go more. He was being relied on to score more at Wisconsin than he was at St. John's. But, you know, he shot 320 last year, not from a lack of trying, more than four a game. Average 17. I would assume that somewhere between the two numbers is reality, right? But not 440, not 420.
No.
Right?
You'll probably get better looks in Bill Self's offense.
Riley Kugel from Florida.
Don't be shocked if he doesn't stay with Kansas for much longer.
Well, because of what's being recruited over him?
Yeah.
No. Well, but 376, 312, his 2 years. 312 last year. And then Zeke Mayo from South Dakota State. 415, 369, 391. He's on, you know, the best shooter of the bunch. Yeah. And has shot
and cranking them
4,
up.
7, and 7 per game.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd like 40%, but 391, 333 is 50% from 2, so you want to be above there. But to say, hey, he's a great shooter.
Yeah.
You'd like to see 40%.
And it's the Summit League.
Right.
So he's not facing the kind of defense he's still facing the Big 12.
K-State, Doug McDaniel. 355, 368. He shot 6 a game last year for Michigan. En route to averaging 16 per game. So, again, an acceptable shooter. You're not no every time he puts it up, but not a lights-out guy. C.J. Jones from Illinois-Chicago, 338, 378. En route to 11 points per game last year. Shot 380, basically.
Improving.
Improving.
While not shooting much more.
Couple of games. But the Mizzou kids, 3-point field goal percentage. Mark Mitchell, first year at Duke, 352. Last year, 275.
Boy.
I knew he didn't shoot a lot, but I would have thought it was better than that. Yeah. But a premium athlete coming home to the area as KCK kid.
54% from the field overall.
Pretty good get that they got him over Kansas, right, since he grew up. Went to KCK, went to Miege, went to Sunrise Christian. Or is it a sign that KU wants better shooters?
Well, and I was going to add that the reason the Kugel thing comes up is, now granted, I'm not going to claim myself an insider, but one of the guys that Kansas is currently in on is a guy named Kobe, I think it's Brea, B-R-E-A is how his last name spelled. He's going to be, I guess it's a COVID year, because he's played 4 years at Dayton. His 4 years, a three-point percentage, 355, 423, 370. This past year, 498, taking 6 a game. So they're going after him, but you could be right. I hope, as a Kansas fan, what I love as a Kansas fan is what we've seen over these last 2 years is Bill Self is somewhat of an old dog who's willing to learn new tricks. He's embraced the hell out of the transfer portal. I hope this is a sign he's beginning to embrace a more shooting style.
It does look that way. The Missouri numbers, again. 319 career for Mark Mitchell, 317 for Tony Perkins, Marcus Warwick, 347, including 298 last year, and then 368 for Jacob Cruz. He did shoot 414 last year. So I just think it's kind of interesting where Connecticut had no problem firing away from three all over the place. That seems to be the direction. I definitely think you can kind of see that evolving at Kansas. Mizzou's in a different spot, though. I mean, zero conference wins. Like, Kansas can't just go to the second round of the tournament next year. They're going to be like, what is this?
Right.
He's trying to finish off a team that has a good foundation. Mizzou is completely rebuilding. Second round of the tournament, would you be okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And as you mentioned, the one thing, they do have minutes. That might be. And they've got NIL. They're clearly, the cash is there in both football and basketball in Mizzou.
Yeah. I hope one day we get, you know, the numbers. Like, let's go ahead and make them employees, because then they're state employees and you have to report the numbers. And I can see the spending. Just like I love the cap, I would love...
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
To see the NIL cap spending. Who's this?
This is Fitz and the Tantrums with Out of My League.
Fitz and the Tantrums. Sounds Fitz like when post game is done by Al Fitzmaurice and Danny Klingsky.
Interestingly, their first album was called And So On and So On.
Wow. There's a shot at Danny.
That's
no reason.
Nope.
Ah.
Why not?
Catching strays.
Yep. Why not?
It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up next hour, we'll get you the things you need to know. That starts with Brett Veach. We're going to hear a lot from Brett Veach coming up. Also hear from Kevin Harlan, the best of the business from CBS, TNT, and Westwood One. The great Kevin Harlan will join us in our next hour. Brett Veach met with the media for about, what, about maybe 30 minutes?
Yeah, 25 minutes maybe, once they got things rolling.
25 minutes? Got it up and going?
His answers are always a minute, so it takes a little while to get.
He is thorough. Brett,
yes.
He is thorough.
Some of them were 90 seconds. He had one that was almost 2 minutes. I think we'd do some trimming. Most guys don't have to trim up. You got to trim up Brett Veach. Cuts a little bit.
We'll hear his thoughts on where this draft is strong, the wideouts, the tackles. Give you a little bit of a flavor of what Brett Veach is looking at in this draft. See if you can figure out who that means they'll take at 32. He doesn't know, by the way, who they're taking at 32.
That's true.
So if you've got it figured out, you're one step ahead.
Any chance they take DK Metcalf there?
No. Not going to happen.
They should.
Yeah, well, they should have, yes. Hindsight being 2020. Let's hope that there's not that kind of...
They should take him next week.
Yeah.
All right, what franchise has had the most players named NFL Defensive Player of the Year? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.